Morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us in this session today. Welcome to our Cloud Ignite. Hi, Reed. Thank you for coming. My name is Aruna Somendra. I'm a senior program manager in the Azure backup team in Microsoft. And joining me in this session today is Stefan.
Hi, I'm Stefan Budo. I'm a solutions architect working at Vigilance IT in Sydney.
So together today, Stefan and me are going to explain and talk about how you can protect your cloud workloads in your enterprise deployments across your hybrid IT infrastructure. So first, some facts. Did you know that today, officially, there are more devices in this world than humans? And that 90% of the data that we have today has been generated in the last 2 years. And in this economy, in this digital economy, data is one of the building blocks and the foundations of the digital economy. Data brings a lot of power with it, driving multiple scenarios and multiple experiences that help us in our world today. And with that great power that comes with data, comes a great responsibility to be able to protect that data, to ensure that that data is available, can be secured, can be protected across your entire IT environment, no matter where that data is. It could be in your data center on premises, it could be in your cloud, it could be running on any operating system, Windows or Linux, and it could be physical or virtual, whether it is Hyper-V or VMware. Across the entire gamut of the data that exists, we are here today to talk about how Azure Backup, built as a cloud-first backup solution, can help you, the customer, be able to protect that entire data, to be able to fulfill that responsibility of protecting the great power that that data brings along with you. So in terms of what we're going to be covering today, we're going to talk about why and how backup continues to be important, how it has changed and evolved in today's environments. We're going to be doing a lot of demos, a lot of live demos, and trying to showcase some of the key features that we've developed. And we're going to be doing this across both functionality that exists for cloud data as well as data in sitting in your on-premises data center. Okay. And finally, we're also going to be talking about how Azure Backup has actually helped customers be able to derive savings in their day-to-day activities in running their business. Okay. So first of all, in terms of backup, right, this has been something that has been there forever, right? It's been there for multiple decades now, and it continues to be one of the key IT priorities. So if you pull up the stats, it says that data protection continues to be one of the top five tasks or priorities that IT administrators focus on today. So let me ask you another question, right? You might say, yes, we know that, been there, done that, backup has been there forever. Why is it, you know, different? Why do I have to pay more attention to it today, right? How many of you here remember what happened this Christmas season in Australia in terms of, you know, what happened with Australia Post and FedEx? Anyone here in terms of heard of that incident? Yeah? It was the season to be scammed. There were multiple ransomware attacks that attacked Australia, where innocent mails would come as though they were mails that helped you track your gift packages during the Christmas season. And clicking on those mails went ahead and installed malware on those machines, wiped out those data, forced customers to go and pay those bitcoins to be able to recover their data. Ransomware is becoming an increasing threat in today's world, all over the world, not just in one region of the world, not just in one kind of an industry, but across multiple industries and globally and even in Australia. I was reading an article which said that Australia is now a top target for ransomware attackers. So much so that government agencies are now recommending to customers to have backups in place that ensure that you are prepared for potential ransomware attacks that can happen and you don't have to go and pay that ransom. But yes, backups have been there from forever. And again, why do I need to worry about it, right? If you think about it, the ransomware attacks every day are getting smarter and smarter. So ransomware attackers are now not just looking at attacking the data, they realize that customers are getting smarter. They're going to go ahead and take backups. And so the next step that they're looking at is, how do I go ahead and attack those backups? So considering that landscape that we are living in, protecting not just your data, but ensuring your backups are also secure becomes super important in today's world. Again, it might be a question to be asked in terms of backups. We know how to do it. It's been there. We'll go ahead and do it the same way. But backup, being a critical part of IT infrastructure, typically changes and evolves whenever there is an inflection point in the IT infrastructure. One such inflection point came many years before when tape started getting replaced with disks, right? And backup software started looking at not just doing tape backups, but also go look at disk backups. Another such inflection point came when we started looking at virtualization. And a lot of backup software started saying, how do I go ahead and get backups that become best in class in a virtualized environment? And as you look at moving your infrastructure to the cloud, you are looking at saying, I want to move to the cloud for the core promises, the core value that that cloud is bringing to my IT infrastructure. These could be in one of four categories. Pretty much all categories is what you're looking at. The ease of pay-as-you-go, the ease of freedom from infrastructure, being able to scale infinitely as per demand, and the total cost savings that you get from the cloud. A typical model, again, as you try to do this and embrace the public cloud, is where you take your current machines that are in your data center and start moving them to the cloud. And we recognize that this move, this transition, is not going to happen in one day. It's not going to be that you take your data center machines and then just move it into Azure in just one single day. For a long period of time, there will be a transition where we see this being a hybrid IT environment, where you have some of your infrastructure still being on-premises and some of them being in the cloud. And as you start making that evolution, as you start looking at that transition, backup software start to look at saying, how do I take the power of the cloud? How do I evolve my backup software to get those benefits of the public cloud? One such model could be by looking at using the cloud as a storage target. I have my same backup software. Instead of going ahead and putting my backups on disk or tape, let me look at moving that backup into the cloud and just use the cloud as a storage target. Yes, that is something that is great in terms of a first step, but it doesn't help you get all the benefits of the cloud. It helps you in terms of pay as you go, an infinite scale, but still, you need to still pay for storage egress. You need to still manage those licenses, and you don't get the full power. Another model could be of looking at saying, I'm moving some of my data into IaaS VMs. I'll take my backup software, bring up an IaaS VM up in the cloud, stick my backup software in it, and start protecting that backup data, protecting that production data. Again, the model does work, and you get some benefits, but think about it. If you're protecting a large set of data in the cloud, you need multiple IaaS VMs that are hosting that backup software. For you to, again, have reliable backups, you need to put that into an availability set. You need to monitor it. You need to manage it. You need to patch those machines, and you need to pay for egress cost. With Azure Backup, we've built it as a cloud-first backup solution. Being part of the Azure platform helps us provide backup capabilities that help you, the customer, get the complete set of features, the complete set of promises that the cloud has to offer. It is no longer your responsibility to go ahead and patch that backup software. We manage that for you. You don't worry about making that backup software, protecting that data in the cloud, being highly available and reliable. We do that for you. We manage the scale. We manage everything. So you get all the benefits of the cloud in terms of being able to protect your hybrid IT infrastructure. And not just that. Enabling it, having it as a cloud-first backup solution, helps us make you, the customer, do advanced tasks than what you were doing before. So in addition to thinking about the Azure, procuring the Azure subscriptions and configuring them, now you have more time to start thinking about compliance. Now you have more time to think about policy as an IT admin. Application admins get enhanced roles to be able to do faster backup and restore capabilities. So bringing all of that together by building backup as a service in the cloud, as a cloud-first service, helps the customer take the entire benefits of the cloud back into their backup deployment. And it doesn't end there. Again, because we are part of the Azure platform, we are able to bring richer capabilities which help you not just to backup and restore. You can now start plugging in with Azure multi-factor authentication to build in better security to protect your backups. We can plug in with Power BI to give you a better backup reporting. All of this, again, with the same licensing models, one single universal licensing model. No extra charges for restore, no extra charges which vary per workload. All being a simple, consistent, efficient, highly reliable, performant, cloud-first backup solution, helping you backup your data no matter where it resides across your hybrid IT environment. With that, let me go ahead and start drilling down into Azure Backup and walk you through some of the key capabilities that we have. Azure Backup, like I mentioned, provides capabilities to protect data in the cloud or in the data center. In the cloud, whether it is an IaaS VM running Windows or whether it is an IaaS VM running Linux, we support all supported Linux distros that Azure supports. We support SQL, PaaS, long-term retention, right? And in terms of backing up from an on-premise data center, Hyper-V or VMware, either of those, we enable protection of those. So today, we'll walk through a few demos. I'm going to be switching between demos and slides because I want you to see the power that Azure Backup has and see that with live demos and get a feel of what we have. So let me first start with the basic. A backup software, first thing you have to do is be able to backup, right? So let me go ahead and show you a demo of how you can backup. Okay. Let me move to my demo machine now. Okay, and here I'm going to be demonstrating how you can backup VMs in the cloud using Azure Backups, backup as a service capability. No extra infrastructure that you need to deploy, nothing else that you need to manage. Okay, so here I have an IaaS VM that is running in the cloud. And this is the properties of the IaaS VM that you see in the Azure portal. Right there, I have a tab for backup. Clicking on that directly takes me to a page which tells me, asks me questions on how do you want to enable backup. Backup with Azure Backup is stored in an entity that we call the Recovery Services Vault. That is what is the named entity that we use for storing your backups for long-term retention. So in this example, I have a VM where I could either pick an existing vault that I've used for other virtual machines or other on-prem files and folders, or I could create a new one. I also have default policies that are specified and give you the option to be able to change those policies which specify how you want to go ahead and backup your VM. That's it. Once you choose either of those, both of those, that's it. You have one click to enable the backup, and backup goes ahead and gets configured for your IaaS virtual machine. Again, I didn't have to take another IaaS VM, put a backup software in it, connect it to this IaaS VM, configure backup on it. None of those. Right there in the Azure portal, as a cloud-first Azure backup solution, I have the ability to go ahead and backup that virtual machine. And it's not just that. Okay? So let me show you, I have here another virtual machine that has been getting backed up by Recovery Services Vault. The Recovery Services Vault gives you a management interface as well, where you can go ahead and manage the backup and restore actions for that virtual machine. So here, it shows me for this virtual machine, right now I'm in the backup settings of that virtual machine, it shows me where my vault is, it shows the subscription, it shows me the last backup time, the last restore point, and it shows me how many restore points I have. So now imagine a scenario where you have a virtual machine and you need to patch that virtual machine. You're worried that that patch might go ahead and, you know, do something bad to that virtual machine, and you want to make sure you have a good state to go back to. Traditional backup software would go ahead and say, I have this virtual machine, I will take a backup of it, make sure I copy it to wherever my backup storage is, and that could take a few hours depending on the size of your virtual machine, if it's a large virtual machine, and only after that be able to tell you backup is completed and you can go ahead and patch it. With Azure Backup, what we've done is we separate those into two steps. We allow you to go ahead and take a snapshot. So let me show that. For example, let me go ahead and click the option to do backup now. This goes ahead and creates an ad hoc backup, which I can specify how long I want to retain for. When I go ahead and click backup, this goes ahead, okay, the demo gods didn't work, but yeah. this goes ahead and would have created a job. Let me go ahead and show you some. It would go ahead and create a job that triggers backup. And let's go ahead here. And for example, this one, since we created backup for it, let's go into this one's vault. And it goes ahead and separates the two operations. I'm going to show that eventually. But what we do is we have the operation to take a snapshot, which completes right there immediately, and we lazily copy that snapshot into the backup vault, helping you have the ability to very quickly view your snapshot. And then if something went bad, you know that you can go ahead and revert to it. Or if it worked, then you can go ahead with the patch. So let me show you some... let me show you this one, for example, right? So over here, if you see, you have two actions, one to take the snapshot and one to transfer the data to the vault. If you're doing a patching scenario, you wait for the snapshot to complete, immediately go ahead and patch that virtual machine. And if you want to store it for longer term retention, you know that it is lazily getting copied into the recovery services vault and is available there for you. So let me switch back to the slides once more. So in the demo, essentially what we've seen is that backup as a service with Azure Backup helps you protect your data, not just from accidental deletion of files or corruption, but it also helps you create backups in an application consistent manner while your VMs are running. We have the ability to support the Windows and Linux. We announced Managed Disks, Azure announced Managed Disks. Scott spoke about it the other day. And Managed Disks are available to be configured right from day one with backup. So Azure Backup is supported for Managed Disks as well. Premium storage, encrypted Azure virtual machines. We manage the entire key lifecycle for an encrypted Azure virtual machine. So think about it. You have an encrypted virtual machine that you went ahead and say protected, and now you need to go back to a restore point, which is an older restore point. And from that restore point to what you are now, your keys have rolled over. No worries. Azure Backup, because we manage the keys in an encrypted, secure manner, we go ahead and allow you to restore that data using the older key that we have stored in a very secure manner and get back that data. Again, all of this with no additional infrastructure needed, very simple to configure, very fast backups, and giving you an ability to do self-serve backup and restore. Moving on to restore. Backups are no use if you can't restore, right? You have to be able to restore from that recovery point. So let me show that to you with a demo of what we call Restore as a Service that we just announced a couple of days back. Let me go back to my demo machine. So here I have my laptop, which is being backed up by Azure Backup. Okay? I have a demo that I want to show you that highlights the power of it. And say I accidentally deleted it. Okay? But no worries, because this laptop is being protected by Azure Backup, all I have to do is go ahead and click Recover Data. Okay? When I do this, I choose which machine I want to recover from, which is this machine. It's my laptop that was getting protected. I want this, that particular video that I want to show you, not my entire machine, so I'll just choose that one. Okay? It goes ahead and asks me to select the volume. I pick the volume that I have that data in. I know it was on my C drive. Now what it's doing is actually going ahead and getting all my recovery points to be able to say, which one do you want to restore from? So I pick, say, I know it was there 2 days back, so I go ahead and do mount. What's happening in the background is Azure Backup is standing up a service for you to be able to do that restore and creating an iSCSI connection from my laptop onto my cloud recovery point. As a customer, I don't have to do anything additional. I don't have to worry about another infrastructure in the cloud, making that connection, none of that. Right there on the machine, I have my cloud recovery point mounted as a drive that is available for me. Not just that, I can now go ahead into this recovery point and go ahead and look at the file. I know the file is there. Okay? Now, maybe I'm not sure whether it's the right one. I want to go inspect that data. I want to look at that data before I use the bandwidth to bring that data back. So, let's see. Let me try playing this video right there from the cloud recovery point that I'm accessing from my laptop. Praying to the demo gods this time. So that's a shameless plug for our latest game. But if you saw a glitch there, that's because I'm live streaming this right there from the cloud recovery point onto my machine without bringing back all of that data. Right? Now I can go ahead and choose whether I want to keep that data there or go ahead and get another file, or I could just do a copy paste. It's as easy as clicking that. I do a control C and then bring it back onto my machine and put it here. That's it. Instant restore. Using Azure Backups Restore as a Service enables you as a customer to get access to your cloud recovery points in a very, very easy manner. Get access to your individual file or folder, be able to open it, view it, all maintaining your security, all maintaining your encryption, and bring it back as per your needs. Okay? Now, let me go back again to my slides. And with Restore as a Service, we have this capability. Not just, I showed you a demo of being able to look at my cloud recovery point from my laptop, but we have the same capability to be able to mount your cloud recovery points and view them and inspect them before you bring them back, even for your IaaS virtual machines. And we have this not just for Windows VMs, we have this for Linux VMs as well. So with Restore as a Service, you have the ability to pick and choose the files and folders that you want to restore. Again, no additional infrastructure that I'm provisioning here. No costs that you need to pay for egress. We, as Azure Backup, take care of all of that for you. And you have the ability to view it, choose what you want to restore, and then do extremely fast restores from that cloud endpoint with the power of Azure Backup, built as a cloud-first backup solution, helping you backup and restore your data across the entire gamut and span of your IT infrastructure. Like I mentioned, and we've been reinforcing in this session today, we love Linux, Microsoft loves Linux, so this feature of being able to do file folder recovery from IaaS virtual machines running in Linux operating systems is in preview. So if you're interested, you can, the deck is also available and the video is available later, or feel free to take a picture. Send us an email. We'd love for you to be able to try it out. Give us feedback before we launch this officially into GA. So try it, let us know, and if there's anything we can do to make the experience better for you, we'd love to be able to do that. So now let me ask you a question. In that demo, that Halo demo that you saw just now, there was an enemy, right? There was a skull moving and there was a small general trying to stand up to that enemy, to that monster, demon, pirate, whatever you want to call it, that skull-faced person. Who do you think from an IT infrastructure world is that enemy? Any guesses? Who do you think? What does that relate to? Who do you think it relates to? Have you seen that skull anywhere by any chance? On your machine? In an article? Anywhere? Right? Ransomware. Ransomware is there everywhere, like we talked about, right? Crypto locker, encrypting your data, deleting your data. How do we, as your backup, help you protect yourself from that enemy? How do we help you in not just protecting your data, but go ahead and protect your backups as well? So let me now walk through what have we done in terms of helping you keep your backups secure. And again, let me do that with a demo. Let me switch here onto my machine again. And here, I have a machine that is protected by Azure Backup. And see, this machine was attacked by a ransomware attacker. The attacker went ahead and attacked my production data. And now the ransomware attacker is getting smarter and wants to go ahead and attack my backups as well. So the ransomware attacker, because he has gotten access onto my machine, goes into the Azure Backup client and says, I want to stop using all this backup schedule and delete all of the stored backups. Which means if that goes through, you have no option. Your backups are deleted and you might have to end up paying those bitcoins if that data is important for you. Now when the user selects that, when the attacker selects that, this is what he sees. Azure Backup recognizes that deleting backups is a critical operation. We want to help you protect yourself against this enemy. So we ensure that for doing a critical operation like deleting your backup data, the user has to enter a PIN, a two-factor authentication PIN that you can get only if you are an administrator of the recovery services vault where all your backup data is getting stored. So in this example here, the attacker gets this PIN, and if I go ahead and enter some other number, which is not the right PIN, it tries to go ahead, authenticates it's the wrong PIN, and doesn't let you delete that data. Okay? Now, supposing if we went to a model and said, okay, this is the recovery services vault dashboard, which was protecting that machine, and over here in the properties, I have that two-factor authentication PIN that we talked about. So for you, this is like a one-time password. For doing any critical operations with cloud backups, you need to be able to use this one-time PIN. So let me try to get that PIN, and let me try to go into this machine again and see what happens if I enter the correct PIN. Okay? The backups go ahead and get deleted. However, again, Azure Backup recognizes this is a critical operation. Hence, it goes ahead and retains that backup data for 14 days so that it is available for you in case that data was not supposed to be deleted, in case that backup data was not supposed to be deleted. So if I go back here into my recovery services vault dashboard, let me close this here. This is the vault dashboard that I have. This gives me an alert if you go ahead. We also have monitoring capabilities that help you monitor and tell you if you have critical alerts with your backup and recovery operations. So in this case, I see an alert that has been raised that goes ahead and tells me that backups on this machine have been deleted. And this alert can be viewed by all the administrators of that recovery services vault dashboard. And not just this, we have the ability to configure notifications as well. So if I go ahead and configure notifications and give an email where I want that notification to be sent to, all the administrators of that subscription will get an email informing them that this backup data was deleted on this machine and that we are retaining it there for 14 days in case you want to go ahead and get that data back. Now, supposing something like this did happen and I do want to get my data back, okay? But I don't want to do it on the same machine from where the data was attacked because I know the malware is still running. I haven't had an opportunity yet to clean it up. However, I want to be able to get access to that data. I could go onto another machine which is being registered and authenticated to the recovery services vault and go ahead and say, recover data from them. Over here, it asks me, do you want to recover data from the same machine where you did a backup or do you want to do it from another server? In this example, because my source machine has been attacked by ransomware, I want access to that data, so I will choose another server. I'm doing this from another server. If I go ahead and click another server, it asks me to give the vault credentials. This is a machine that is registered to the recovery services vault. But still, it asks me again to provide what we call are the vault credentials that are available if you go into the recovery services vault properties page. This enables us Azure Backup to ensure that that request is coming from an authenticated machine. So over here, if I go back, I've already downloaded these vault credentials. If I go ahead and put that in, it authenticates. Yes, good. And then what it also does is says, okay, which machine do you want to restore from? And not just that, it asks me to enter the same passphrase that was entered at the time I configured backup on the source machine. So if you notice, multiple layers of security. First, we help prevent the attack by ensuring that only a valid two-factor auth OTP is, PIN is configured and given by the user. We alert to make sure that the admins know about this issue, and we help you recover where we validate the vault credentials. We validate that you are the right user, you know the passphrase that was used to back up that data. So prevention with the PIN, alerting with the monitoring capabilities that we have, that we've added, and the ability to recover. Azure Backup helps you secure your backups by giving you multiple layers of being able to protect your backup data. And we saw one example of how you can secure your backup data. We also have multiple capabilities. Your backup data, when you're doing it from on-prem to the cloud, is always secure with a passphrase that you, the customer, owns. Even Microsoft doesn't store that passphrase, right? With IaaS VMs, we talked about it. We do all the key management for it. So you have a protected IaaS VMs. We can take a backup off that encrypted IaaS VM and keep that very secure for you. We have multiple compliance certifications that we have already, and we recently announced role-based access control, which helps you separate out the tasks. So you might have one user who can only do backup, you want only to do backup, another user who can do the restores, right? So we enable that access control with RBAC capabilities that we recently added. Okay. We looked at some parts of the monitoring and reporting when we looked at the jobs and the alerts. The other capability that I want to talk about is reporting. Right? With reporting, Azure Backup recognizes that as backup administrators, it is as important to report the health of that backups as it is to actually back up that data. You need to be able to, for auditing purposes, be able to say for the last 1 month, for the last 1 year, whatever is your time duration, be able to have reports generated that say your backups were successful and your backups were healthy. And that's what we help provide with reporting capabilities of Azure Backup. Let me again move into a demo. This is the feature that is coming, so I'm going to just give you a sneak peek of how that would look like. Let me go ahead and close these. And what we do with Azure Backup is allow the user to configure a storage account of your choice where you would want to push the reporting data. That reporting data that you have gets pushed into Power BI, and using Power BI, you can have multiple reports for your backups across, again, your hybrid IT infrastructure. So one central place that you have. Don't need to set up another server for it. Don't need to support and do any other configuration for it. We manage all of that for you, help you look at all your items across your DPM, IaaS VMs, across file folders, give you trend reporting, give you how the job statuses are, multiple reports that are created that are available for you through a content pack that we publish, and you go ahead, import that content pack into Power BI, and these backup reports are available for you. Again, these all are based on Power BI. Power BI is the interface for it. You don't like the graphs, you don't like the colors, you want to change red into something else, go ahead, all power to you. Very easy, all you need to do is push a bunch of buttons, do drags and drops right there in your hands, right? So Azure Backup provides extremely great reporting capabilities that are available for you. And for most customers, we believe that the first 3 months of reporting data would fall under the 1 GB free tier that Power BI provides. So think about it. You have the ability to backup as a service, no additional infrastructure, have the backup ability to restore again as a service, instant restore, instant ability to look at your cloud recovery points, secure those backups, right, and be able to report on them. Okay, and across your entire IT infrastructure, right? So content pack is published, you go ahead and customize it, make those reports, change those as and when you want it and however you want it. Okay. So next I'll hand it off to Stefan to talk about some of the investments we've done on the on-premises side, because we believe this transition to the cloud is not going to happen in like an instantaneous flip. There is going to be a model where we will have on-premises and cloud infrastructure. So we're making investments and enhancements on the on-premises side as well to help you protect your data better across the entire span of your IT infrastructure.
Thank you.
All yours, Stefan.
Thank you. All right. First thing first, can I get a show of hands who's have heard of DPM, Data Protection Manager? Good. Who's using DPM today? All right, quite a few. 2016 or 2016? Not so much. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to run you through is effectively what's new in DPM 2016 compared to DPM 2012 R2. There's been a lot of improvements that have been made around a few complaints from customers that DPM 2016 was not specifically fast, there was consistency checks happening. So Microsoft has worked a lot on improving that by introducing what we call RCT, resilient, change tracking, which is basically a technology that now, instead of having your DPM agent doing all the filtering for all the changes that are happening on the servers, it's done through the operating system. It's built in with Windows 2016. So what that means is now you no longer need those consistency checks that are really, really painful and take forever. In addition, you now no longer need to install a DPM agent on the actual storage system that you needed to back up in the past with DPM. So now you can back up anything that is sitting on your SAN, on your NAS, things like that. So it's a big improvement there as well. Microsoft has also worked a lot on the integration with the move from 2012 R2 to 2016, and allows you with DPM 2016 to back up mixed environments. So if you do a roll-up upgrade from 2012 R2 clusters to 2016 clusters, you can still carry on and back it up. I don't know if any one of you came to my talk on Storage Spaces Direct, but 2016 is also compatible with Storage Spaces Direct, so you can back up all that in there. And finally, BitLocker. So any encrypted VMs that you need to protect can be supported with 2016, no problems there. The next new feature that is really exciting about DPM, and I know backup, can it be really exciting? But it is modern backup storage. Now, again, there's been identified that the number of gigabyte, terabytes that you need to actually store your backup is a problem, right? And with DPM 2012 R2, there was some effectively lost space there that Microsoft has tried to fix by introducing what we call modern storage backup. Using REFS, and we'll go in a bit more in-depth in that in the next couple of slides in a demo, using REFS, we can now achieve up to 50% of storage saving on your backup. Although it's not, backup is usually cheaper storage, it's still important to be able to contain that so it doesn't expand and grow out of proportion. Also, with the REFS technology, we now achieve 3 times faster backup compared to what DPM 2012 R2 could do on NTFS. So that's quite good as well. And you also get a much better control on where the backup resides. For those among us using DPM 2012 R2, and I'm one of them, it was fairly annoying to just throw a bunch of storage at DPM and let it decide where everything's going to reside. While you might have workloads that you say, well, I've got this really highly critical SQL server that I'd like to back up on much faster storage so that if I need to restore it, I can just restore it much faster. So now with 2016, you can actually decide and point, well, this server, I just want that on SSD if I want to. Or this VM that is just a file server or an archive server, I just want to back that up on much slower storage. So this is what you can now choose and effectively direct your backup to what you want to do. So you get a much better granularity, a much better control on your storage and where you want your backups to reside with 2016. So modern backup storage, how does that actually work? So if we take an example of a SQL database that you want to backup, and you've got a few blocks there that that represents the actual data of the SQL server, the data is going to get transferred through DPM. DPM is going to create a chunk store on your REFS volume and a VHDX to store all that data underneath it on top of REFS. Now, all your data is now in that chunk store within the Data Protection Manager. So you've got your initial replica that is being set up. From there, the REFS will clone that VHDX. And in the clone, for any block that are changed, it will be transferring that clone, that data into the clone, basically, and pointing that to it. So what we see here is that instead of in the old days when we had, in DPM, we had to reserve an entire partition, an entire volume for our recovery points, now DPM will, using REFS, will create them on the fly by using the clone technology that comes with REFS. So just to reiterate, just to resume, 50% storage saving, roughly, you know, between 0 to 50. Three times faster backup because you're only really using the cloning technology from REFS. And finally, this is, to me, one of the big ones. You can pick and choose where you actually allocate your data, where you put your backups into your storage. VMware. Now, who's using VMware? That's okay. I won't hold it against you. It's fine. I know it's legacy stuff, but, you know, we'll let you get away with it. Microsoft is trying to effectively open up a bit more now with VMware and try and manage all that VMware environment, because we do realize that, you know, you guys have made an investment into that VMware environment and you just don't want to chuck it all away, right? So now with Azure Backup in 2012 R2 UR11, you can now back up your VMware VMs from the hypervisor layer, which wasn't an option before. So a few things. You need VMware 5.5 or 6.6, up all the way to 6.6. It's an agentless backup. So we're basically using the open source APIs that come with VMware and interrogating the visor to actually grab our backups. You can back up any just standalone ESXi hosts, or connect to your vCenter and get presented with all your ESXi hosts and then back up all the VMs that are residing on there from all your stores. You can store, of course, you can back up from any kind of storage in the backends. So your SAN, your NFS, any DAS, anything like that. You can also recover files and folders from within your backups. So if you backup a Windows VM, you can go ahead on VMware, you can go ahead and recover any files and folders within that that backup, within that VM. And finally, because it's DPM, now through the backup of VMware, you get the integration with Azure Backup. So you can basically just eliminate all your tapes, and I'll come to that later on when I talk about what we've done basically internally, is you can now eliminate your tape and just go up to Azure with all your backup and use that as an historical data for VMware as well. All right, enough talking. Let me show you what that VMware looks like on our systems today. So when we install UR11 on DPM, you'll get a new tag here, which is Manage VMware. So this is where you will store your credentials to add Access vCenter or your ESXi host. That's why this technology is dead. It's just too hard to spell. So I've already created one, which you see, you can just name the actual credentials, username, password, that's it. All you have to do then is import the certificates if you want a secure connection to your host, basically from here. From there, we can simply add the server, and I'll do that. You can see now we've got the option to actually select the VMware server, the IP address, and, of course, select the credential. Go add, and go next, and go, that's it. And so now that VMware server is going to appear in a moment in my list of servers down here. There it is. It's attempting to connect to the... So it's connecting to the ESXi host now, and as soon as it's going to go OK, we can now go in our protection groups and go and see that VMware server in action and actually go and select all the VMs. I'll do that as soon as it comes up OK. So note that the principle to actually go and connect to a vCenter or just a simple host is exactly the same principle, except that if you connect to your vCenter, you will access all the servers that are managed by vCenter at that point. Let's move on to the protection group. I'm sure in the meantime, in the background, it'll just connect to the host. So now here, if I go and modify my protection group, I can... go and see my VMware server. There it is. And I can see my storage on there within my data center and all the VMs that are here. So in the same way as we backed up Hyper-V VMs, now we can have access to backing up any virtual machine on a VMware host. Just select them and then go through the wizards as we always done before, selecting how much storage we want to assign, et cetera, et cetera. And the backup will just start and do exactly the same as a Windows server, basically, an Hyper-V server. So moving on to modern backup storage. Now, I've got a Windows 2016 server next to that 2012 R2 here, and you may have noticed I've got a SQL server here, a quick test. Now, the important thing to point out here is down below in the disk allocation, you can see I've got 14 gig allocated, 9 gig used, but also I've got my recovery point volume. I've got 10 gig here allocated and about a gig of backup of recovery point being used there for the 8 recovery point that I've done. If we now look at my 2016 machine, I basically cloned that VM and started backing it up on the Windows 2016 Hyper-V box. So it's exactly the same data, exactly the same VHDX. But now, you can see down here, the storage consumed, it no longer separates the initial replica and the recovery point. It's just one big storage. That one big storage, you can see here, is using 10 gig on my disks, as opposed to have 14 gig reserved and another 10 gig for the replication points, the recovery points, and now I just have 10 gig for the old lot. So I'm gaining way more than half here because I don't have to reserve all that space ahead of time. In addition, if we start a recovery point now on both machines, let's quickly do that on the 2016 and on the 2012. Check this, how fast that is, as soon as this is started. By now, I bet you the one on 2016 is already done, or close to it. You can see I've done a few tests in prior to this demo, and we're looking at 30 seconds, 40 seconds, even for small or larger backup. I mean, I'm talking here 40 megabytes in 23 seconds, and I just backed up 10 gig in 39 seconds. If we compare that to DPM 2012 R2, it probably still is going. It is still in progress. So you can see in the previous test that I've done, Just to back up that 71 megabyte, we're talking a minute and a half all the way up to 3 minutes, right? And this backup here is being gone for a minute and it's still going. So you can see the power of REFS cloning here at play, whereby instead of just grabbing the data and getting it all to a new recovery point on NTFS, we simply clone the disk on REFS and dump all the changes in there in less than 30 seconds. So that's really how much more faster we can backup. No matter how much backup we're talking about, 50 meg or 10 gig. Right, so I hope everybody's impressed. Let's go back to the slides. So this is what we've done at Vigilant IT, basically. We've got a fairly sizable environment. Just in a nutshell, this is what it looks like. Right, we've got two data center, soon to be connected with dark fiber in between, about three clusters on each of the sites, and a few different type of storage in the backends. I've listed the main ones, which is two scale-out file server with storage spaces, and on the other side, one scale-out file server with storage spaces direct, and a nice SCSI SAN. We roughly are taking care of about 300-400 virtual machines with a little bit of Linux, but not much. And that VMware server that I just demoed for demo purposes. We're using that, of course. So what we used to do is this. In the primary data center, we used to just back up our IPv clusters using DPM 2012R2 straight onto storage, straight onto disk to it. On the secondary, same thing. So because it's an active-active scenario, we have another DPM server there. We're just backing up straight onto disk. In addition, we were synchronizing daily all the backups from our primary sites to our secondary sites. And then from there, we used to do like everybody else, weekly backup to tape, and those tapes, of course, were transported on the off-site storage facility. Right? So what we faced as challenges there was, the first thing was the cost. Right? Not just the cost of backing up everything onto disk, etc., but more the maintenance cost, you know, maintaining that library, changing these tapes over. That's the tape and handling, transporting them all out to the storage facility. Not only that, but also the administration of all that, you know, the accounting team having to pay the invoices for all that. In addition, the backup failures. Now, I don't know how much experience you have with DPM and backup to tapes, but what we saw in our environments is I've roughly spent about 30 days worth of time during 1 year just handling tape failures, handling the backup, changing those tapes, etc., etc. So that's pretty big. In addition, we also now have to keep up with the changes in tape backups, right? Those LTOs, they keep on going higher and higher. And because they only support two generations back, you now have to keep all your old hardware to actually be able to restore potentially tapes that are 7 years old. I mean, 7 years, that could bring you back to LTO 2 or LTO 1 even. So what we did to fix that is basically we kept, of course, our primary and our secondary DC, but we virtualized our DPM server, our DPM 2012R2, and we stuck the backup storage onto a scale-out file server and used dedupe to compress all that. I can show you live what we're looking at, but basically we're looking at about 50 to 55% decrease in storage spaces at that point in store. We did the same in our secondary data center, so we did exactly that, Sophos with dedupe and a virtual DPM 2012R2. But then the main thing here is that we change completely the way everything synchronizes. And instead of going back to the secondary side and then to tape and then to offsite, we basically synchronize both of those DPM up to Azure into a vault. What we've seen with that, and what we're doing now is upgrading that to 2016 and modern storage space, modern backup storage. So with that upgrade, we should see an additional not only gain in storage space saving, but also much faster backup because of what I've just demonstrated. So next, we'll do that in our primary DC as well. So what our experience has been so far in terms of moving to a DPM system coming from a Symantec Net Backup, let's name the product. We did that about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. 34% monthly cost reduction, that's what we're seeing in terms of comparing to a backup to tape compared to a backup to Azure. If you take in account everything, this is the amount of money we're saving every month. We've got consistent, successful backups. That's a very important point. I don't spend any more time looking at those failed backup and fixing backup issues. I just go in there, I know it's working, set up and forget. Very low maintenance, as I mentioned. We've got a very high compression rate. We're talking about 30% on data flowing from our DPM server up into our Azure Vault. So if you create 100 gig worth of deltas, it's only going to transfer 70 gig up to Azure for you. Faster backup and recovery. That's also now much more true in 2016 because of what I've just shown you. And finally, optimized storage use. Not only with 2016 and MBS, but also with now the support in 2012 R2 of dedupe storage. And that's me. Thank you.
So I hope with that we were able to cover some of the key features we wanted to demonstrate that Azure Backup has to provide. I also wanted to kind of walk you through some of the features that we've released in the last few months and what's coming up next. So we saw some of that central monitoring and alerting in the recovery services vault, which is a single dashboard that shows you all your items, all your data from your Azure virtual machines and your on-prem machines, right? IaaS VM backups, you can protect premium disks, encrypted VMs, manage disks, inline backup experiences right there in the VM blade, Windows, Linux, item level restores, all that, right? SQL Azure now uses Azure Backup for long-term retention. We also have security enhancements that we've made, which we saw in the demo just now. VMware and MBS that Stefan, modern backup storage that Stefan just showed you. And we have a whole bunch of exciting features coming up as well. So for those of you who are already using Azure Backup, with the older, the classic Azure portal in ASM, they were called backup vaults. And those have some amount of functionalities, but we've added a lot of that in what we call the recovery services vault, which is accessible through the newer Azure portal. So coming up soon is going to be a feature for you to be upgrading, which allows you to upgrade your backup vaults, which are accessible through ASM, into recovery services vaults in ARM, and do the upgrade without impacting any of your backups. All your existing backup data continues to remain as is. No impact to the existing currently running backups. You go ahead, choose to upgrade your vault from ASM to ARM, and we take care of everything in the background. We're also launching central reporting that I just demoed as well. We have a whole bunch of geos that we've recently launched as well, and we keep adding new geos. So we have a few more geos coming up pretty soon. In terms of things that we've already announced this year, we announced Restore as a Service a few days back, which I demonstrated as well. RBAC support that we talked about. And another thing that we are doing and working on is application consistent backup for Linux using pre-backup and post-backup scripts. So that's another thing that we're going to be supporting as well. Managed disk that got announced has support for Azure Backup, and Instant Restore for hybrid file folder backup is another thing that is there in this year. So a whole bunch of exciting new features that keeps coming at the pace of Azure, at the pace of the cloud, that we keep increasing every day to help you, the customer, take the power of the hybrid IT infrastructure from a data protection standpoint. That's just a listing of all the geos that we support. Germany is coming soon, but we announced a lot of new geos last week as well. Yeah. So that's basically it in terms of what we had to cover today. Look at data protection continues to be important, even more relevant in today's world where you have to think about not just backing up your data, but securing your backups as well. As you evolve to the cloud and as you look at the promises that the cloud has to offer in terms of pay-as-you-go, infinite scale, cloud economics, freedom from infrastructure, how can you look at using that from a backup perspective, not just as using the cloud for just storage or just IaaS, but use it with Azure Backup as a cloud-first backup service that helps you, enable you to get ready for this cloud transformation, get enabled and empowered to take the advantages of the cloud and bring it back to your IT infrastructure. Again, no matter where it is running, in your data center, in the cloud, no matter what it is running and how it is running, whether it is Windows, whether it is Linux, whether it is VMware, or whether it is Hyper-V, we support all of that and support all of that in a manner, in a cloud-first manner, which helps you make it simple, reliable, efficient, powerful, and gives you all the benefits that you want in today's infrastructure world. So go ahead, look at, if you're not using Azure Backup already, go look at your, if your current solution is helping you with all of these, and look at Azure Backup and get yourself ready for the cloud transformation. So thank you again for joining us. We have a whole bunch of resources that you can go ahead and read up, that you can download and see as well. We keep updating our blogs very regularly. We keep adding videos of how you can do these features. So the recent features that we announced as well, Restore as a Service, IaaS VM Backup, all of those available for you as videos that you can go ahead, read the blog, watch the video, get yourself signed up, get yourself started on it. Okay, this one is Continue Your Learning with Ignite, with all the channel line. The recording will be on channel 9. Again, right there for you to go ahead and access offline. And hey, we had bad timing, so you're not going to win the fly the drone pass, but do go ahead and fill the evaluation. Your feedback is important to us, so go ahead and evaluate our session and provide us feedback. So that's it. Thank you so much. We recognize it's the last day, the last session right before lunch, so really appreciate you coming, spending the time to hear us, understand the new features. We hope we've given you enough information that you can go ahead and take back to apply in your IT infrastructure, and we hope you've learned and enjoyed the session as well. So thank you. We will be available here for questions in the speaker lounge as well, and feel free to send us email or reach us out and, you know, ask us more questions. Anything else, Stefan?
Thank you.